American Christianity is absolutely being destroyed in our time. Nothing like this has ever happened in history so quickly.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we see our religious liberty and other rights diminishing in America, and the cost of bearing a Christian witness increasing.
There's no question that the assault against religious liberty right now is at historic proportions.
Worldwide, the absence of religious freedom is striking. Could we one day face the same thing here?
Think about that poor couple of people that are huddled together in some hut in a rural village, scared for their families, not for themselves, that they may be discovered here reading a Bible.
Find out how we can reclaim our freedom for the good of the nation on today's Truths That Transform.
Where can we stand as the tsunami of cultural changes threatens to sweep away our rights and liberties? Find out in Here We Stand, the new hardcover book by Dr. Frank Wright, and the companion DVD, Standing for Truth, available only through D. James Kennedy Ministries. You'll hear from frontline Christians who are standing strong.
People who took their pro-choice friends to see Unplanned, and those friends walked out pro-life.
I stood up for my values and my faith, and I said that I believe marriage should be between a man and a woman.
It's those who have the courage to stand up when the bell's tolled to say, yes, here I am.
I've got my U.S. passport, and I've got a heavenly passport. And whatever happens to this country, whatever happens to me, there's a future that goes beyond this.
We are in a pivotal moment in history, and that's why Dr. Frank Wright wrote, Here We Stand, a generational call to the kingdom of God, to give you biblical hope for the future and provide essential truth in a culture awash in hostility toward your Christian faith. For a generous donation of $60 or more, we will send you the DVD, Standing for Truth, plus the brand new hardcover book, Here We Stand, written by Dr. Frank Wright. Contact us today and help us stand for truth and defend your freedom.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. One of those key freedoms we defend is religious freedom. We live in a day when all around us the forces of secularism are working to marginalize Christians because biblical truth is an impediment to their radical leftist agenda. On today's program, you will discover how egregiously the First Amendment is being ignored. You will hear from President Trump's Ambassador for Religious Liberty about the critical situation for Christians worldwide. And we'll share some key resources that will bolster your faith and help you to stand fast in these times. We begin with a story about an 84-year-old widow who might be evicted from her California veterans' home. Why? For sharing the gospel with some of her neighbors. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
Religious liberty, I think, is almost public enemy number one for a great many segments of our society. And that's tragic because this country was founded on the premise that people should enjoy the fullest degree of religious liberty.
Where we are today in America compared to our founding in terms of religious freedom is, it's not quite night and day, but it's getting there. And by that I mean, increasingly, people aren't allowed to live out their faith. It's basically, that's what you do in your private life, but once you come out to the public square, we don't want you to talk about that, and we certainly don't want you to act on it.
There's no question that the assault against religious liberty right now is at historic proportions.
People do not shed their First Amendment religious freedom rights simply because they attend a public school, because they work for the government, or in this case, because they're living in a veteran's home.
An example of the assault on religious liberty in our time centers around 84-year-old Artis Bro of California, who is in trouble with her veteran's nursing home. She may even face eviction. Why? For leading Bible studies voluntarily with other residents.
Well, I have a passion, I guess, to share with those who don't know the Lord because somebody loved me enough to share with me.
She's a woman who is 84 years old, and she is a veteran. She was working for the Army Pentagon during the Korean War. Her husband fought in both World War II and the Korean War. He's passed away. But she is living in a California veterans home, and she was also a chaplain. She loves Jesus. She was a Messianic Jew, if you will. She's a Christian convert from Judaism. She loves the Lord. She was doing a Bible study as a chaplain. Everything was going great, committed, running the race to the end, until the government got involved. See, someone complained that they didn't agree with her. He claimed emotional abuse, elder abuse from her.
It says God has given us eternal life.
The California Department of Veterans Affairs, CalVet, received a complaint from a male resident who attended one of Artis' Bible studies at the Veterans Home of California, north of San Francisco.
Because in their discussion, he didn't like what she said about eternal life and how to get to heaven and not going to heaven. And so he complained, and because of that complaint, she was removed as a chaplain. But it gets worse. She continued having a voluntary Bible study with people there in the home who wanted to study the Bible. They served our country. They wanted to study the Bible with her. And she was told that she had to stop the Bible study or she would be booted out of the home in the streets.
I do believe that God is going to be just.
That's hard to believe.
Well,
she's a wonderful, loving person who can't help but share the hope of Christ with those who would like to share with her and to study the Word with her. They're violating the constitutional rights of this wonderful veteran.
Artis complied with the CalVet's mandate that she cease and desist leading the Bible studies lest she be evicted. And so her Bible study was stopped for 2 months. And then the Pacific Justice Institute was able to get permission for the Bible studies to resume.
Now, some people think that because it's a government veterans nursing home, that anything the government touches must be anti-religious, must sterilize that ugly bacteria called faith from the public square, from anything the government is involved in. And that's not true at all.
This case is ironic in many ways, not the least of which is that here is a veteran of many years, having served and sacrificed for our country to keep us free. And she's the widow of a veteran who's also distinguished himself in service to our country. And now, in the twilight of her years, she faces eviction for leading Bible studies in a nation founded for the purpose of religious freedom.
She can't take care of herself. She's been living a life of sacrifice, her and her husband. And the idea and the thought that someone who sacrificed so much for our freedom and liberty could have theirs so easily taken from them by the government is appalling. And so we have been representing her in this matter.
We should be astounded by this, but the silencing of Christianity is becoming more commonplace. Despite our First Amendment protecting religious free exercise, tin pot bureaucrats and unaccountable judges are feeling increasingly comfortable violating the Constitution in favor of their left-wing policy goals. Dr. D. James Kennedy saw it all coming, and I'm joined now by his daughter and my friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad sounded the alarm on this a long time ago, didn't he?
He did, Frank, and it was because he was so perceptive and he saw the underlying causes. My father was quicker than most to realize the threat we faced at the hands of those who would secularize America. As a student of the Word of God, he knew that it hindered every aim of the left, whether it was statism, sexual anarchy, or the undoing of the nuclear family. But he also saw how the secular agenda was being met with apathy on the part of God's people. And he knew that if we didn't stand, all the work of those who settled, founded, and fought for this nation would be squandered and our freedoms would be lost. My dad alerts us to the threat we face and the response you and I need to have to it in this portion of his vital message, Twilight's Last Gleaming.
Sad to say that we are seeing the demise of Christian civilization in this nation in our time. One magazine put it this way: the war on standards, they call it, ugliness has now been enthroned, and in our pictures today, the ability to shock has become a replacement for the ability to inspire. Have you noticed that? You see, unbelief cannot inspire. It can only shock. Because we are inspired by the nobler virtues, which are the virtues of God, the virtues of Christianity, of self-sacrifice and heroism. And so we see the evidences of the demise of our Christian civilization ever before us on our screens and sets at home. And if we continue in the way that we're going, I believe that we are going to see such an onslaught on the remaining institutions of Christianity, which remain the only free institutions in this country, and a statist government that wants to control everything is not going to be satisfied until it controls Christian schools and Christian institutions and the church itself. And more of their lawyers are saying that the freedom of religion is not a constitutional freedom. One of them said that the First Amendment is obsolete. It is simply a statutory freedom that the state grants it to the churches and the state may withdraw it anytime they will. We think that we are invincible behind the First Amendment. We have judges and attorneys that are willing to throw that out at a moment's notice. What's happening to American character is tragic indeed. Very few of the Americans believe in the Ten Commandments anymore. Only 13% of Americans said that they believed in all 10 of the commandments. Now the figure goes up as the number of commandments comes down. But tragically, we have no moral standard, and none is being taught to our students. And I can't help but remember the words of Ruth Graham, spoken a decade or more ago, but far more true today than they were when she uttered them, when she said, "If God doesn't punish America, he is going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah." And my friends, God doesn't apologize. We are responsible. When is the last time that you wrote a letter to the editor? The only reason a newspaper gets away with what it gets away with is because Christians do nothing. We just sit in our pot of hot water and say, "It's getting warmer in here, have you noticed?" When is the last time you wrote or called a producer for sponsoring some vile program? When is the last time that you called a network and told them that you didn't appreciate some programming on that network? We need to really stop playing at church and playing at Christians and get serious, because, my friends, American Christianity is absolutely being destroyed in our time.
Freedom is God's great gift to America. But unless Christians stand for biblical truth, raise their children faithfully, and seek God's face in prayer, that freedom, already dramatically eroded, will be lost. In just a few moments, we will share some resources that will equip you to stand faithfully for God's kingdom in this current atmosphere. And what happens when this freedom, which we often take for granted, is lost? I recently had a conversation with former Senator Sam Brownback, who is the U.S. Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, to discuss what Christians are facing worldwide where there is little or no religious liberty. Well, thanks for being with us, Ambassador. It's great to have you here. Help the average viewer understand, what's it like to live under persecution where the whole government structure may be against you and your faith, tradition, and your way of life? What's it like for a Christian to live under persecution?
Well, I think it becomes then a daily choice. How am I going to organize my week so I can sneak out to this place where there's going to be a house church gathering? And how do I do so in such a way that I'm not discovered? How do I do so in such a way that the rest of my family isn't harmed? Because a lot of people, I mean, they'll have the courage themselves, but they don't want their family to be persecuted in the process.
Right.
And then you really have to, in that Bible verse where it says, they have to count the cost before you go in. Yeah. They have to make that. They got to count the cost. Because in some cases, if you become a person of faith, if you're a follower of Jesus, your family can come against you and will and may decide to persecute you or kill you. And you may decide, well, if I'm going to make this sort of choice and counting the cost, I have to walk away from my family. And people do that. And I meet with them on a weekly basis, different people, and they just stir your soul and their faith. When you look at somebody that's risked it all and yet is joyful, and they've gone through terrible difficulties, but you really get to see a perfected soul.
Yeah. In the West, we have no concept of that, do we? There's no penalty, really, for exercising your faith publicly. There's some criticism that the Christian church is getting these days that it never used to get before, but it's a totally different thing.
The idea that I could be locked up for going to church on Sunday, or meeting with this gathering, or that that I could be attacked and killed, or my house burnt down, it's just something that doesn't happen. You know, most people kind of, okay, I'm going to church today. You know, they might, you know, but not everybody. But you know, here this is a choice, and you make it, and you choose a lifestyle. But there, it's really you're putting your whole life and your family's on the line.
It was William Wilberforce who, once he was converted to Christ, met with a group of Christians and decided they were going to do something about the slave trade. And 33 years later, through his work in the Parliament, United Kingdom abolished the slave trade. And then another almost 32 years later, slavery was abolished in most of the British Empire. Statesmanship, there's a role in this, isn't there? I mean, what do you see happening in the Congress to drive this issue? Because, you know, when Wilberforce began, the whole Parliament was in the pocket of the slave trade. And he was fighting, pushing that, like Sisyphus, pushing that rock uphill the whole way. What's the role of statesmanship in addressing this issue of Christian persecution?
It's to bring light to it. It's to listen to the voice of God, that still small voice saying within you, this is wrong, and the odds don't matter. It doesn't matter what the odds are against you.
That's right.
If God is for you, who can be against you? And it's to get in there and to doggedly pursue these sort of things that are wrong. And think about that poor couple of people that are huddled together in some hut in a rural village, scared for their families, not for themselves, that they may be discovered here reading a Bible. And this happens all the time around the world. And we're in a position that we can push governments, we can push countries. You should protect your religious minorities, and if you don't, there are going to be consequences for this. And that's the role that we have. We sit in an extraordinary spot to push this, and we don't have to. We could sit at home and do nothing. But this is our role.
This is our time to do this.
You've just heard from Ambassador Sam Brownback about what's happening to Christians and other religious minorities in places where there is no religious freedom. While we have not yet seen such violent persecution here in America, we do see a concerted cultural campaign to marginalize Christians and ridicule Christian beliefs because Christianity is a barrier to the radical social engineering envisioned by the left. What is called for in such times is a radical commitment to the kingdom of God by His people. We can see our nation reclaimed for truth, but it will require God's blessing and the faithful commitment of His people. We have put together an exclusive DVD program that will equip and encourage you in this regard. It's called Standing for Truth, and it features Abby Johnson, the former Planned Parenthood clinic director, who is now helping people come out of the abortion industry. You will meet a Miss California, USA, who endured a firestorm of national controversy simply for declaring that she believes in traditional marriage. And we will hear from former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who cheerfully battles for truth in the media and raised a daughter to do the same as President Trump's press secretary. And there's much, much more as well. We will send you this special DVD program, Standing for Truth, only available through this ministry, as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of the ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. When you give a donation, you are helping us to broadcast the gospel, to apply the Bible to the key issues of our day, and to defend religious liberty in federal court in our lawsuit against the anti-Christian Southern Poverty Law Center, among many, many other things. So please, give generously. And if you can donate $60 or more, we will send you the Standing for Truth DVD plus my brand new hardcover book, Here We Stand, A Generational Call to the Radical Kingdom of God. Now, this might sound a bit immodest, but I truly believe this book is an essential guidebook for the days in which we live. It contains what I believe are the necessary first steps to restoring the church and our nation. In it, we see the heights from which we have fallen as the people of God, and we receive encouragement and biblical hope for the future of America. I labored over this book long and prayerfully, and I think everyone who loves the church and who loves America should read it. That's the DVD, Standing for Truth, as our thanks for your generous donation, and the DVD plus my new hardcover book, Here We Stand, as our thanks for your donation of $60 or more. Friends, let me be very candid with you. June is the end of our fiscal year, and we are facing some critical financial shortfalls. So I ask you to prayerfully consider giving a generous donation today to help us continue our vital work. Freedom is literally hanging in the balance, and we cannot do it without you. simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. This week, we celebrate Flag Day in America. It was Woodrow Wilson who proclaimed June 14 to be Flag Day over a century ago to commemorate the anniversary of the adoption of the Stars and Stripes by the Continental Congress. And the U.S. Congress officially instituted its observance back in 1946. But these days, Flag Day often passes without any comment or notice. And that's a pity, because it's biblical and appropriate to look to this national symbol to give thanks for what we have been given here in America. In ancient Israel, as they left Egypt, the people camped by the standard or the flag of their fathers' houses. The psalmist David writes, "May we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of our God, set up our banners." You wouldn't know it to hear history taught today by those who would purge any remnant of God from our public life. But the American flag is a banner set up in the name of God. When we sing the Star Spangled Banner, famously written by Francis Scott Key during the Battle of Fort McHenry in the War of 1812, we now only sing the first verse. But the original had four verses. And the fourth verse says, "Blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just. And this be our motto, in God is our trust." So this week, hang the American flag high. And remember that though we are by no means a perfect nation, we are a nation that has brought the most freedom to the most people in all of human history. And that gift comes from God Himself, the author of this great undertaking. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The most important ingredient for making American culture what it was intended to be is a father in the home.
Is that compassion when we are driving a generation of children into this type of delusional way of thinking?
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.